I had called Wyatt earlier to tell him that we were running just a little bit late and might need to sing an extra song or two. Dale and I had been over in Tyler with the Cooper family, and Chubby, or Frankia, as many of you know her, we always called her Chubby. That was just certainly not a derogatory term, but she was always known by Chubby Cooper. And we always loved her and had a great deal of admiration and appreciation for her. But anyway, we waited quite some time this afternoon, and they did determine to go ahead and remove the ventilator from her body. And so anyway, we didn't get to stay beyond that. We had to come on back. And as we started out, it started pouring down rain of all things. And so the devil was really working on us to keep us from being here on time. I kept telling Dale, I said, Dale, we're going to pull up at 6 o'clock. And you watch what I'm telling you. We pulled up at 6:01. But there was a slow car right in front of us right before we got here. But we did make it, and I appreciate it. I had called Dwight and told him, and Dwight was going to go with us this afternoon, but he had to help down at the funeral home tonight, or this afternoon. But anyway, we appreciate, I know they do, your prayers for her. She has been seriously ill, critically ill all week. But anyway, they did make that determination this afternoon. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of kindness. Kindness. It is a rare commodity in today's world. And someone has appropriately said that the milk of human kindness never curdles. And it doesn't. Glenn Campbell was one of my favorite singers of all time. And always liked Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell was a member of the Body of Christ at one time. Had a brother named Lynn Campbell that preached up at Delight, Arkansas. Mother and father were Christians, faithful children of God. He sang a song a number of years ago entitled Try a Little Kindness. Many of you may remember it. And that should be, you've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, sign your life for everyone to see. But what is kindness anyway? You know, kindness in today's world actually becomes a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And but when you think about kindness as it is defined in Webster's dictionary, or perhaps maybe in the Word of God, there is a actually synonymous thought there, and that is of doing good to one another. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he showed kindness, and he showered people with kindness. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10 that he went about doing good. Someone has said, I expect to pass through this world but once, and any good, therefore, I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now, let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. You know, I think everybody ought to live by that little motto every day. You know, when someone needs the arm of love or kindness, show it to them. It's so important because it's a whole lot better to do that than it is to live with regrets. But what does God say about kindness? I would ask you the question tonight, is it a part of our nature? You would think not, by the way people act today and the way that people treat one another. You would believe that people are not naturally kind. But we are to be considerate, and we are to treat other people with kindness and love. Is it a part of our nature? Well, I want you to look at a couple of passages here. In the book of Proverbs 31 and verse 26, the Bible says that the worthy woman opens her mouth with wisdom, listen to this, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness should be a law by which we live every day. A law means that we abide by the parameters of where God really wants us to be. And I'm persuaded that when we are kind to other people, kindness will come back unto us. It will. And then in Proverbs 19:22, Solomon asked a question here. What is desired in a man is his kindness. You know, it costs nothing really to simply be kind to one another. Did you know, I read this the other day and I thought this was very interesting, that kindness is the new cool with most young people. 59% of all high schoolers think it is cool to be kind. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes you hear bad things that young people do. Isn't it great to have our young people sitting up here tonight? That's a great thing, isn't it? But kindness is so important, and being nice really is cool. It is, isn't it? Let me tell you a little bit about kindness. First of all, it is demonstrated by the Almighty, by our God who is in heaven. And every day that dawns, and you'll have an opportunity tomorrow to shower people with kindness and with love. Let me encourage you to do that. The Bible teaches us that God is kind. And God is the arm, listen to this, that will hold you when you are at your weakest. The eye that will see you at your darkest. When you are at your darkest, God sees you. And the heart that will love you even at your worst. You know, sometimes people will be kind to people when they are kind to them. But if they are unkind, they refuse to be kind to the unkind. Everywhere Jesus went, again, he was kind to the unkind. He was. Kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and that the blind can see. They can. That's why I think that kindness is so important. The reason I wanted to fashion and design this lesson and blueprint it for you tonight is the fact that I think it is one of the greatest lessons in all of the Bible. You and I can put our faith into practice when we are kind to one another. In the book of Isaiah 54 and 8, the Bible says, "But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." When you really think about it, if God's kind to us, doesn't he want us to be kind to other people? Doesn't God really expect that of us? And if Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps, then it should behoove us to be kind to other people and loving and do what we can to minister to their needs. In Isaiah 54 and verse 10, "For the mountain," listen to what he says, "the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you," he says, "nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord your God who has mercy on you." God's kindness is borne out in the book of Romans chapter 2. It is the goodness of God. Paul calls it that, but his kindness, the goodness of God leads us to repent. And that passage in Acts 10, again, 38, everywhere Jesus went, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Bible goes on to say, even though he was oppressed by the devil for us, he did good everywhere he went. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, also reminds us of how important it is and the kindness of God. He says, "For when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy," and that's kindness, folks, "he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Sometimes people go out of their way to be unkind to one another. I've always thought it was best for us to be kind, not unkind. I read the other day about a story that occurred one summer morning as a man by the name of Ray Blankenship actually was preparing his breakfast. He gazed out his window and he saw a small girl being swept along in the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Ohio home. Blankenship knew that further down the stream, the ditch disappeared with a rower underneath the road and then emptied into that main culvert. Ray dashed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying his best to get ahead of that foundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end, and within about 3 feet of the yawning culvert, Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a rock, perhaps maybe protruding from the bank. He clung desperately to that rock, but the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. He thought, if I can just hang on till help comes. But he did better than that. By the time that the fire department got there and the rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. And then on April 12th of last year, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award is fitting, for this selfless person was at even a greater risk to himself than most people knew, for Ray Blankenship could not swim. It was an act of kindness, an act of seeing someone in need and doing something about it. Not only is it demonstrated by God, it is desired by others. Everybody wants people to be kind, don't they? Don't you want people to be kind to you? Sure you do. Everywhere you go, you don't treat people with unkindness, and you would hope that other people would be kind to you. Don't walk around the down and out. The song says, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And if you want more kindness in the world, you and I, it is incumbent upon us to put it there, to simply be kind. Kindness beget kindness. It does. And never lose a chance to offer a kind word to someone. You know what? We speak so many unkind words. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like that virtuous woman that in her tongue was the law of kindness? She never talked about anyone. She never used God's name in vain. She never did gossip and say evil things about anyone, but she always took the opportunity to say good things. Someone has said that even the smallest act of caring for another person is like a drop of water. It will make ripples throughout the entire pond. Have you ever noticed that? It does. The story of the Good Samaritan is a very beautiful story. It illustrates for us, and Jesus said that when he talked about this Good Samaritan, and by the way, we call him the Good Samaritan. We've learned that lesson. The Bible doesn't refer to him as the Good Samaritan. We look at his life and we say he's good. He's simply called the Certain Samaritan. But he stopped and rendered aid to someone who had need. And don't you know that that Jew would always remember that Samaritan? He probably never looked at Samaritans again like he had looked at them previously. In the book of Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me, and I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison and you came to me. And every one of them said, Lord, when did we see you that way? And he says, because you were kind to other people, you did it unto me. I've always said that more people are going to be in hell because they left undone things in their life. Think about what Christ said. He says, but when you saw me, he talked about those who went to the left, those who were going to be lost in a devil's hell. They were lost because of their neglect. They didn't do what they should have done. They didn't give him drink. They didn't give him food. They didn't clothe him. They didn't go take him in as a stranger or visit him while he was in prison. One kind word can change someone's entire day. You ever experience that? I mean, you're having a bad day, you're blue, I mean, you're depressed, a lot of issues going on in your life. Maybe someone said something to get you down or to bring you down, and all of a sudden someone came along and they said something that lifted you from where you were to the pinnacle, and you felt good all day about something that someone said out of kindness. But number three, it is demanded of Christians. It's not an option. When you think about kindness, it is a way of life, isn't it? It is mandatory for you and for me. Don't ever act unkind to someone. If we do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are not of God. That's what Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 9. But he says, "But you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I can't imagine Jesus ever treating anyone unkindly. Listen to Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another." And I like that word, and I made it in big print here for you because I think that's so important too. Tender-hearted. You ever been around people that are callous and hard-hearted? You don't want to be around people like that. You want to be around people that are tender-hearted. And I'm going to tell you, it is time for a global change in our world, isn't it? You know, the media is so unkind. Congressmen are so unkind. Senators are so unkind. People in our world are so unkind one to another. But we need to learn kindness. And I'll say it again. It's so important. Galatians 5:22 tells us that part of that fruit of the Spirit is kindness. It is. And it's something we need to remember. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, put on kindness as the elect of God or as Christian people. 2 Peter 1 and verse 7. It's listed next to the word love in the list of Christian graces. You know where Paul talks about that? And he says, add to your faith virtue. You know what virtue is? Virtue's goodness. It's kindness. That's what the word really means. Sometimes we don't even understand some of the words that we read in the Bible, and we go back and try to dissect it and learn it and find out what it's about. Virtue is goodness, it is kindness, and it's right next to the word love. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him," that is their unkindness, "being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." Wouldn't that be horrible for someone to say something about you? You know what? I want to be remembered as one who was kind. I sincerely mean that. I try to live my life every day as one who is kind. I'm not saying I always measure up, but I do my best to try to lift the fallen and the people that need a kind word. I'll tell you what kindness is not. It's not for show. I don't do it for show. That's not my purpose. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, Jesus said that some people go through life trying to glorify themselves. They try to lift themselves up. They're more concerned about that. But Jesus said that we're to let our light shine before the world, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Loving kindness is to be offered without a hidden agenda. You know, sometimes people always think you have a hidden agenda if you're kind to them. There's no hidden agenda. Not on my part, there's not. If I do something for someone, it's because I want to do it, and it's just an act of love for me. No hidden agenda. A man brought his wife flowers one time, and when he walked in, she says, "What have you been up to?" You know, in life, you always become a little suspect when someone does something for you in a kind way. We need to stop playing the part. We do. And let our eyes be focused on what is right. Matthew chapter 6. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites are, with the sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear, he says, to be men to be fasting. But assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. They had an ulterior motive for this, you see. And Jesus says, hey, God doesn't play games. The Lord God doesn't. But when you fast, and by the way, Jesus never commanded anyone to fast. Did you know that? Even though you may read about that a lot in the scripture, Jesus never, ever commanded anyone to fast. He commended it when people did it, but never commanded it. And he says, but when you fast, if you're going to fast, anoint your head and wash your face that you may appear to be men to other men as one who is fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. We need to stop talking the part. That is kindness. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. People talk about how we need to be kind, but sometimes we act so unkind. You can talk the talk, but the real issue is, can you walk the walk? Listen to what he says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister, here's where the rubber meets the road, folks. He said, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, here it is, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Oh, we all talk. We do. But generally what we say is, someone should do something about that. Instead of saying, maybe I should do something about that. No. It should be that we all do something about that. Genuine kindness is not off and on. It's not bipolar. You either own or you're not on. Suppose God treated you the way that sometimes we treat one another. Do we only owe kindness to those that we think that deserve it? Or do we deserve the kindness of God? No. When we were undeserving, God manifested his kindness to us. We need to serve for a cause, not for applause. Too often in this world, people serve all right if they can get their name up in lights, or if they get an award, or they get recognition for what they do. Hey, I'm not interested in recognition. I thank God for his kindness, and I want to, if God has been so kind and good to me, I want to share that with other people as well. And if we do not show it, we do not belong to Christ. That is precisely what Romans 8 and verse 9 says. What does kindness do? It glorifies God, who is the very epitome of kindness. You want to be like God? Be kind. You know, people, we have people get up in the pulpit and pray all the time, Lord, help us to be more like God. Help us to be more like Jesus. Or help the world to be able to see Christ living in me. Do you realize that the best way in the world for the world to see Christ in you is for you to be kind to other people? Some people say, well, I just can't do that. You need to get out of your shell and start showing kindness. And it can be random acts of kindness. It doesn't have to be something real monumental. It could be opening the door for someone. It could just be a wave or a personal greeting to someone. It could be an embrace. It could be anything. But that's what kindness is really all about. It is good for you and good for the one who receives it. I have observed through the years that when you are kind, listen, it makes you feel better. But when we treat people unkindly, you know how it makes you feel as well. It does. Kindness spreads when we show kindness. It is contagious, so we ought to pass it on. Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatsoever you want men to do unto you, do also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. There is what we call a kindness court every day. You know what? Every day we go somewhere. Do you treat people with kindness? Do you? If you don't, you need to correct your course. In looking inward, it reminds me of what I can't do, but looking upward reminds me of what He can do through me. It's so important. We should all be members of that random acts of kindness foundation wherever we are, and that is none other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the limitations, or rather the imitators of God, are those who walk in love. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 2. And it is something that we all ought to remember. And it's so simple that anyone can speak kind words and do kind things. I hope tonight, if you're not living your life on the kindness plane, that you'll make any necessary change that needs to be made. You may not need to respond to the invitation of our Lord tonight. We're going to sing a song to give you that opportunity to do that. Maybe you've been unkind to someone. Maybe there's some things you need to repent of. And maybe it's just simply to say, you know, I need to turn my life around and start really being a kind person. That's the way I want to be remembered, not only by people on this earth, but more especially by my Father in heaven when I stand before Him. I want Him to remember that when people were hungry, I fed them. When they were naked, I clothed them. When they were sick, I ministered to them. And isn't that the way you want to be remembered? Surely it is. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can obey the gospel and become the child of God through the kindness of our Lord by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And we're going to sing this hymn. And, you know, everybody needs Jesus. Do you know Him? Let us stand and let us sing.